Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Friends, ESPN is reporting that Dwayne Coleman has won the job as Army starting quarterback. If you are a member of our First Tee Club, you are not surprised to hear this news. And in addition to this, we have also got real football this weekend. Yes, that's right. It is week zero. And everybody rejoice. I am your host, special guest host today, since half of our crew is unavailable. I am Dan O.E. Cabeza here in coastal Connecticut. I've got Rob. And Rob, I don't even know where you are, man.
I'm traveling. I'm in Augusta, Georgia, so I am crossing paths in a place where Omar just recently was.
And we've got Omar in the great state of Oklahoma, like the musical. Omar, how you doing, man? How we doing, guys?
Doing good. Excited for this weekend. Everything really snuck up in a good way and also in a bad way, because I feel like I'm cramming for tees right now, putting in every single piece of off-season content that I have left like this week.
Well, I will give you a plug for your American Conference preview, which is going out tomorrow as we're recording this. By the time people hear it, it's probably already going to be out. I liked it. It was almost 2,000 words, but you held my interest the whole time, which is pretty laudable. So, Rob, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm in Augusta this week for TechNet. So if you are a combo person at all, that's the excitement of this week. Lots of client briefings, a lot of briefings about Army stuff that, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Like, hey, how do we, you know, operate in contested environment? Like, we've been talking about that for the last decade, which is cool, though. You know, it's a very Army-centric problem, but understanding all the new nuances and like a lot of good technology firms and like just cool antennas. And like, where was this 5 years ago? You know, like that's the other question is like all these young guys get all the cool stuff. Like us old grads are like kicking ourselves because we're selling it rather than building it or using it. And so that's always an issue.
That's cool, man. At least you're still plugged in. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got out and took a hard left turn and I've never really looked back. So it's cool that you're still plugged in. At least that's my opinion on it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I'm close enough to help, but far enough away. So if they get that red Corvette at 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't have to get up and respond. So that's the upside.
Absolutely. Rob, you want to tell us about Jocelyn Bradley, who sponsors this program?
Yes. So if you have listened to this show at all, you know that we have a sponsor here. And if you're PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you. Her name is Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a military veteran who spent her career in Army logistics. There she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream home when she's in the market or when you're in the market. And she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn is also an extended network of veteran realtors that can help you if you're moving somewhere else in the country. So if you are moving anywhere in the country, use Jocelyn. She should be your first call. She's decided to support us for Ask for Football again, which is great because like this is the second year in a row. And she's a good sponsor and just a good person. So we really appreciate her helping us out this year. And bottom line, if you're not moving specifically to Fort Bragg, you can still get a realtor that you can trust. And that's Jocelyn. So reach out to her. She's got a business card on our website. And you'll be talking to her soon enough. Thanks.
Thank you very much. So we're going to go through this in thirds, right? Or in fourths. So we're going to go through three games. You guys are going to respond. We're going to play a little game. And that's just kind of the way I have this broken out. So with apologies, I'm going to talk a little bit and then you guys are going to give me your reactions. So we'll start with the Army's first half of the season preview. As everyone knows, we've got Tarleton State a week from Friday. Guys, this team is really, really good. They are currently ranked number 8 in the FCS heading into 2025. Went 10-4 last year, made the FCS playoffs, and won a game. All-conference quarterback Victor Gabelis returns, along with 11 of their top 12 defensive players from last season. They're rumored to be considering the jump from FCS to FBS. Like, this is the kind of game that a lot of teams do not schedule, particularly in the group of five, to start the season. This is a real football team. They're going to be very good. From there, we go to K-State, currently ranked 17th in the nation. They've got a returning quarterback, good-looking defense. We know this is going to be a tough game, but I feel like we'll have a sense of exactly how hard it's going to be after the Week 0 game when we see them play Iowa State. The third week of the season is a bye. And then finally, we've got North Texas coming to Mikey Stadium. They have a new quarterback, Reese Poffenbarger, from the University of Albany. None of the preseason rankings are particularly high on the Mean Green's defense. Last year, they caught Army off a bye at home. This year, they host Washington State the week before traveling to Mikey Stadium. Mean Green are kind of in a tough spot here. So let's stop there and get your thoughts to this point on the season. And Rob, we'll have you go first.
Yeah, so Tarleton State, I think that's going to be a challenge. I mean, one of the most challenging games that they had was against Eastern Kentucky, and they're talking about making the jump to, you know, FBS as well. So you have two basically teams that are right there on the cusp of jumping into the, you know, the deeper end of the pool. And, you know, from a name, image, and likeness perspective, you kind of have to do it because, like, if you're a smaller school but you're beating up on everybody else in the division, moving up may actually keep not only your football program alive but some of your other programs alive. And a great way to posture yourself, like, look at JMU. You know, when JMU was moving towards that, they were, you know, popping up and beating FBS teams, and so that kind of gave them leverage as they moved into the FBS division. So I think that'll be interesting to think about. But a playoff team is a playoff team, whether it be in the FBS or the FCS. Like, they've got some staying power and they have legit offense. I think, for the Tarleton State game, my lean is, you know, I think it'll be close in the first half, just typically as these things are. But then as in typical fashion, depth chart and, you know, just overall fatigue and taking a beating against the option is going to weigh in. I think Army will stretch the game in the second half. Expect the first half to be close, just to be completely honest. And then moving on to K-State, like, I can't root for K-State. I mean, I just can't. I was stationed at Fort Riley, did 3 deployments with them. You know, like not my thing. The Little Apple, though, Manhattan is a great place to watch a football game. Like, if you ever get a chance to go, it's very, very similar to Mikey Stadium. Plus, the nightlife there is pretty good. So they have Aggieville, which is like the downtown area. That's very interesting. So, like, if you like to drink and eat wings, Aggieville is your place. I think Army has a chance early because it's K-State. They're trying to adjust. They have some unknowns in the receiver room. They have a quarterback that's kind of proven. He looks like he throws a little bit like Patrick Mahomes, you know, like he can move and get the ball out while he's out of the pocket. But as far as all their other weapons, you know, a lot of question marks in their wide receiver room, tight end position. So as far as being able to move the ball, we'll see. And again, in typical Army fashion, if they hold on to it, who cares what their quarterback, you know, who cares what their quarterback is if the time of possession is like 48 minutes to 12. So I think that was a good one. Bye weeks are always good, particularly going to North Texas. Like, I think we can flag this now that Army's in the American as one of their rivalry games. I think anybody that Army plays in the state of Texas is a rivalry from here on out, particularly UTSA, and we'll get to them later. But, you know, North Texas and Army, that's a coin flip typically every year, and usually the home team has the advantage with the exception of last year, you know. And we'll see probably for sure by the time we get to this point in the schedule, you know, how things have shaken out in the Army quarterback room and what other weapons have been identified up until that point. But I'll pause there.
Omar, what do you got for me?
Yeah, so for this one, starting with the Tarleton game, it's really a shame what happened because Tarleton shouldn't even be on our schedule. I don't mean that derogatorily, but their conference made a scheduling error and scheduled a conference game over their FBS game. So I think their slate is to play Texas A&M or Texas Tech. So we're paying them a cool $250,000 and a dinner at the Thayer Hotel to show up here. Like, $250,000 is so cheap when it comes to these paychecks. So Tarleton needed this game per se. I mean, it's cool for their fans too, but I will say this isn't your typical tune-up game because, like you guys have been saying, like, Tarleton is really good. They can compete in Conference USA now. It's not an if, I feel like. It's a when. I guess it's a when if the power conferences don't act up and prevent schools from making the jump to FBS for Tarleton being an FBS school. But that's a really talented team. But I do think that week zero fatigue might be a real thing for them. But they play Portland State spread scheme, not too powerful of an offense, though, so I'm not sure how physical that game will be. But they'll have a game under their belt, I mean, and they'll be prepped for the option. So I'd say I'm like maybe – 40-60 worried on that one, if not 30-70. With Kansas State, I mean, they have a great quarterback. Avery Johnson's really good. And I feel like with Kansas State, as long as you have like someone that can actually, that can throw the ball really well, that really brings Kansas State to the next level. I mean, just all the way going back to the Bill Snyder days, like seems like they've had the kind of Tim Tebow light type of guys, but Avery Johnson is really good passer, really elusive runner, not just like your Colin Klein or like your Jake Waters guys. For those that remember Jake Waters, like, he's not like those guys. He will, you know, he'll beat you in a foot race. So I am expecting us to be competitive in that one too. But also, I can kind of also see the playbook being opened, like how it was against Wake Forest in 2021, mm-hmm. where we recognize like this might be a track meet. And so, you know, we pull out the, you know, creative passing plays in the scheme for this one. But that one, I mean, that one, I expect us to compete well, but not win that one. As for North Texas, something I noticed with North Texas, they have a lot of talent, at least at quarterback. Reese Poffenbarger is great. But I think North Texas is one of the teams in the conference that that Army matches up with really well on offense, because looking at their defensive line, like they have a really small defensive line. Phil Steele is one of their defensive ends at 230 pounds. So I think that bodes well for a team like Army that is notoriously light, getting heavier, but still notoriously light on the offensive line. And I just don't think by game four, it looks like that North Texas's defense will be there. Like they've been improving, but I still think it's a liability. So I can see us coming out of the stretch with a 2-1 record, which I think that's what everyone is predicting.
So I am nervous about this Tarleton State game as well. Early on in the preseason, like we were getting some vibes out of camp that didn't look particularly promising. And now just reading Coach Munkin's body language, he seems like he's calmed down quite a bit. And so with that, I feel a little calmer. And so that's good. I think it's good that Dwayne Coleman, like we know he's got this job, that the competition is over. Like we're solidifying behind our guy. And I feel like if they take care of business and it looks good in week one against Tarleton State, then I'll be confident. And if like it's off the rails and then they get smoked at K-State, then they've got a bye week. And like you said, a home matchup against North Texas team with, you know, a sketchy defense, an unknown at quarterback, you know, all these new weapons that may come together over time, but it's asking a lot to bring it together in week four. That's going to work out okay if we're just, you know, if the team is just not, if the Army team is just not looking right. So yeah, that's my feelings on this, and I guess we'll see how it plays out. So moving on to the second quarter of the season, we are at East Carolina for that Thursday night game. Man, the Pirates look good. Caton Hauser's back. He's had a whole offseason to settle in as the starter. The Pirates have a lot of returning players on both sides of the ball. They could really make that next step, you know, make that jump. Then we're at Alabama Birmingham. This team went 3-9 last season. Nobody is really projecting them to be particularly good, but it's kind of a make or break year for head coach Trent Dilfer. And regardless of what he's done over the last 2 years, the guy's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Like we know he knows ball. It's just a question of if he'll be able to put that together on the field. This is a road game, but Army will have 10 days to prepare for it too. So that is good. And then finally, they've got Charlotte at home coming off a 5-7 year in which head coach Biff Pogge got fired. They bring in a new head coach, Tim Albin, who seems to have an amazing reputation, but he's had to almost completely reboot that roster. And Mikey Stadium is a tough place to play. I feel like I'm setting you up here, but Omar, why don't you lead us out this time?
Okay. Yeah. So for this one, it turns out that Jake Retzlaff might screw us twice, because the BYU game looks not as difficult. I mean, it'll still probably be a win for BYU, but I mean, it could be a closer game. And ECU, I mean, who knows if BYU even is a good team, and ECU just walks all over BYU on that on the week before against when they travel to East Carolina. So that's kind of the one thing, the added element that kind of worries me there, where it's like, I was kind of reassured in the fact that ECU plays BYU the week before. So that's going to be an emotionally charged game, you know, a team that won, I think, 11 games last year, like a really huge moment for ECU that might become a moot point because of, you know, the situation at BYU and the quality of team that they might have But even still, like three or four days to prepare for the triple option after playing BYU or playing a regular scheme is really crazy. So maybe my worries are unfounded with that one. As for the other schools you mentioned, like Charlotte, and UAB, like, I feel like we know what UAB is, to be honest with you. Charlotte, not so much, because like you said, like Tim Albin, great coach, took a lot of talent with him to Charlotte. Not so much Marshall levels, but still a good amount of talent. But I just think, like, with a lot of the new coaches here in the American, their systems aren't installed yet. Like, I guess aren't like entrenched yet. Like Army entered the conference and won the conference in their first year because we had an entrenched system. Like the new coaches, there's a lot of great new coaches that, like, which we'll talk about later on, like, you know, Temple and Tulsa. But with Charlotte too, I just don't think the system's in place yet for them to really, I guess, make a run at Army this early. So I think this is a much needed stretch, especially after the ECU game, where you have 10 days, like you said, to prepare for UAB. And that might even be a huge Army like presence game, just fan support wise. I mean, so it might not even be an issue with that being a road game.
Rob?
Yeah, so East Carolina, the thing about ECU is, like, they've been the, you know, quietly the team that everybody talks about in North Carolina. You know, nobody talks about UNC, nobody talks about Coastal that much, nobody talks about Duke or NC State unless they're winning, right? If they're rolling all the time, then people are talking about them. ECU, there's constantly a buzz around the Pirates, regardless of what their record is. And last year, you know, if last year is any indicator, you know, giving Kalen Hauser the rest of the year to kind of develop as a QB1 is a scary prospect for Army, right? But the short week is good, you know, in Army's favor, because again, like, you don't have to worry about installing a new defense or making that many significant changes, because our offense is our offense. But for East Carolina, they've got to be able to adjust, particularly after playing BYU. Like, and, you know, not to be Debbie Downer, but depending upon how Army's record looks going into that game, it could be a trap game for ECU, right? Like, that could be, you know, the big emotional letdown after, you know, like, say, for instance, ECU goes to BYU, wins, right? They have a huge win. You come in emotional, a 2-1 or a 1-3 Army team comes in there, and then they slip right past you because you had this big deflating emotional letdown after a big win against a ranked or formerly ranked opponent. So I think that is a good potential for that one at East Carolina, just depending on how the first third of the season goes for Army. But then going into UAB, man, like, honestly, I want Coach Monken to continue to collect scalps of all these other freaking coaches that have like these great reputations. So if Trent Dilfer gets run off the field, I'm absolutely okay with that. Like, he is a Super Bowl winning quarterback, but he ain't as good as he once was. And so, like, I'm perfectly okay if, like, Coach Monken goes down there and Army runs him off the field. Like, quite frankly, if Army beats these guys 50-0 and they never throw a pass, I would be okay with it, just because I think, UAB is not going to turn around. Like, Trent Dilfer has been there long enough as the coach, and it's unfortunate, and this is like putting on my roundtable hat. You've been there long enough. Like, there's no excuse. This isn't like your, you know, this isn't like your first recruiting class or something, you know, something new or innovating that's interfering with your ability to be successful. Like, maybe he just doesn't know how to talk to this modern age of players. You know, and I think that's an age-old problem that anyone has, like dealing with people that are 20 years younger than you. How do you relate, particularly in the game of football at the college level, the way that it is today? And then UNC Charlotte, like, I'm waiting for the home game next year. That's the most important game for me, because I get to go watch it in state. But the reality of it is like, new coach, good reputation, but, like, again, you're bringing in all these players. Can they gel by week 6 or week 8? You know, I mean, that's always a problem. Teams, you know, that bought in a lot of NIL folks did not look good first half of the season, and then they started trending upward. And so I think Charlotte will probably be in the same place. Like, their matchup at home against Army will probably be more competitive, just because of the simple fact that they've had their system in place for a year.
So, you know, you'd really like to start the first half of the season at least 4-2. And just as I was going through this, putting the outline for this show together today, the one thing that really stuck out to me late in the season was that this team really needs to win the games that they're supposed to win, because in the second half of the season, like you could find yourself in a position where you're counting on the Air Force game to get to bowl eligibility.
Yeah.
And that is not a great place to be. Is Army a better team than Air Force this year? Probably they should be. But if you're to the point where you have to beat Air Force in order to even have a reasonable chance to bowl eligibility, like that's tough. So, you know, these games like Charlotte and Alabama, Birmingham and North Texas at home, like you really got to win those games. Yeah. And you hate to say, well, this Tarleton State game is a must win game in week one. And I guess it is from the sense that it's an FCS game, but I think we all know that that game is going to be pretty challenging. Like if Tarleton State played Charlotte, I think I might take Tarleton State. Yeah. Certainly last year, I thought Lehigh, if they had played in the American Conference, probably would have finished middle of the pack or at least better than like Temple, for example. So, it's about the team has to perform early in the season or they're really going to find it tough down the stretch. And, sometimes they do that. A lot of times they do. And sometimes we've seen them take a little bit of time to gel. So I guess we'll see how that goes. All right. So now we have a new section, and I'm just going to play the new sounder. So here you go.
Shall we play a game?
So James put that together. It is an iconic, if you know that movie, it's from the movie War Games, iconic part of that movie, if you are of a certain age. James didn't recognize it, though, so what are you going to do? So the game is this. Who is your MVP of the Army football team through the first half of the season? Omar.
So I have Hayden Reed as my MVP for the first half of the season because I think, unlike most recent, this is probably the most, I think, fullback-driven Munkin team since 2014, I want to say.
Wow.
I think so because even in years when you had Darnell Woolfolk, Andy Davidson, like the quarterback play was still like really, really good. Like you had a lot of points. it was really good. You had a lot of yards from the quarterback position, and same thing in last year when Kanye Udo ran for 1,000 yards, like Bryson Daly of course ran for 1,600. But I think this team will be the most fullback driven team, and I do think that Hayden Reed might be a 1,000-yard rusher. He'll definitely have a lot of touchdowns because I don't think Dewayne Coleman has the body. And if you want to, I mean, I'm sure he can find a hole. You know, maybe as a nose for the end zone like Tyler, but I just don't think he has the build to be, you know, constantly carrying it on 3rd and 2 or second and 2 from the goal line. Like, so I can see Hayden Reed having upward of like 10 touchdowns, 900 yards at least, and being the team MVP and being that first team leader. So that's my team MVP.
So while we're on this, what's that other fullback's name? Why can't I come up with it? The huge kid.
Rendina.
Thank you. So Jake Rendina has supposedly lost about 25 pounds. And if he can get to the hole faster than he did last year, I think he might solve some of these problems in short yardage. You would certainly like to see that. Last year, he just wasn't hitting the hole hard enough. He was hitting the hole pretty hard. He wasn't hitting the hole fast enough. So that's something to keep an eye on. But I like that pick a lot, Omar. Rob?
Hey, I'm going to go with Noah Short, man. Like all things considered, like he is probably the most explosive player on the team. Like you can get him out in the flats, get him open, throw vertically down the field, or he can break one on an option pitch. And so I think, you know, ideally, and I'm going to kind of pile on to what Omar said, but I think like the ideal scenario for Army is to not have like 2,000-yard rushers. Like it's suboptimal. And I say that not in any other sense, and not that that's bad because it's a great achievement for those individuals, but to have 4 or 5 people in the stable of running backs with 650 and 4 or 5 touchdowns apiece is kind of like the ideal solution for Army because like there's nobody for the defense to key on, right? So there's times where it's like, hey, we knew QB power was coming, right? Like
absolutely.
Because last year you had Bryson Daly, the guy's a horse, he's going to run through some folks. And so I think there's, you know, there's some sweetness to having multiple, you know, guys in the backfield that can create things for the team. And so I think Noah Short, just as a pure athlete, is probably one of the most athletic guys on the team. You know, everybody that I've talked to that's been around him for his entire time that he's been in the program, like, guy's a stud. Like, he's very, very fast, very athletic. And I think, you know, with a newer quarterback with Dewayne Coleman starting, you got to offset some of those reps and some of those carries. And so like, yeah, fullback heavy attack is going to be great, but Army looked very good last year, getting those explosive plays, whether that be a QB power and freaking, you know, Daly runs over somebody and breaks into the secondary, or Kanye Udo just slipping through, and the next thing you know, he's 20, 30 yards downfield. So I think, you know, explosive plays are going to matter. I don't think Hayden Reed is like an explosive play kind of guy. I think he's very durable, and I think he'll get you the yardage, but he's not going to break away from anybody in the American, you know, down the field, and I think Noah Short's that guy.
So I'm going to go on the other side of the ball, and I'm going to say firstie safety Casey Larkin, and Cal nose tackle Cody Harris Miller. Y'all may remember my man crush on Harris Miller from last season. Munkin called him out as a specifically important player at his on the Army football show that they had this past Saturday. And I think just looking at it on paper, this year's defense has a chance to be even better than last year's squad. Last year's squad was pretty damn good. But, you know, you got Larkin back. Harris Miller is just a cow. They've got guys who have played at defensive end. You know, they've got both their middle linebackers coming back. Like, this is an experienced, tough bunch on defense. They should be really, really good. And they might need to be. We'll see how this Army offense goes, but I expect these guys might be on the field a little more this season without Bryson Daly to sort of eat up all those yards. So anyway, having said all that, if you have watched this show at all, you know that it is sponsored by Craig Oxane, area sales manager at the Money Store. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. As you know, friends, Craig is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He's going to offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal he possibly can. And guys, the mortgage process is confusing, right? We've heard rumors that interest rates might come down. They've been saying that since at least last season. You know, you want to deal with somebody that's going to work with you and not some dude who's just trying to make a buck off you. You want to deal with somebody who actually cares, not a call center, not some random big box bank, minus website, get a mortgage from China.com. Like, this is not the plan. You want to deal with a guy who actually cares about you trying to get your mortgage and your house squared away. And as we've said before, this is how the Westport Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Azure Football, and we're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like $1,300. Guys, save yourself $1,300. So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending, check him out. His link is on our website. Omar has dropped off the call for presumably some kind of internet reasons. Hopefully he comes back, but if not, it's just going to be me and Rob going on. And I guess it's time to go into the second half of the season. So we start off that second half of the season. The seventh game, I'm not exactly sure which week this is at Tulane. And, you know, we always know Tulane is going to be a good team. And then I read Omar's preview of the American Conference this year. And, dude, this looks like a really great team, right? They got that quarterback, Jake Retzloff, whatever his name is, in from BYU. He's outstanding. They got to replace Mekhi Hughes, who was an outstanding running back last year. They return about half of their production on both sides of the ball. This team is really good, and they were really, really good against the run last year. Now we got to play at Tulane. Like, that's a game that you don't want to have to have. Like, it'd be awesome if they can win, and I think if Army can get that win, you know, maybe we're talking about American Conference Championship again. I don't know, but you don't want to have that one. Then after Tulane, you've got the bye. Then they're out at Air Force. You know, the Air Force team is a mess, but – they were a mess last year up until the Army game. And then they had that bye, switched quarterbacks, figured out what they were doing, essentially rebooted their offense. And, you know, they played well at Army, even though they lost. And then they went on to win their next four straight. Like, that, I hesitate to call them a good team, but they were way, way better in the second half of the season last year than they were in the first half. And I expect we might see that again. And then finally, you've got that, the third game in this quarter, which is the Temple Owls coming to West Point, new head coach, Casey Keeler. They returned a decent amount of production, but off a bad team in 2024, plus a new head coach, new system. Again, they might get it together, but that is just a very tough ask, in my opinion. You know, a lot of teams couldn't pull that one off last season. So, Rob, tell me your thoughts here, and we'll see if Omar can get back with us.
Yeah, the difficult part that is always difficult, really, when you start looking at later in the season, it's where's Army playing, right? If they're playing at home, advantage Army. Like, Mikey Stadium is just a tough place to travel to and play, right? For some reason, like, Coach Monken has cracked the code on winning at home, which is great, right? And so I think that's a good thing. But playing Tulane at their place with a new quarterback, that's already a Heisman Trophy guy, right? They were talking about this kid in the offseason, you know, being a Heisman Trophy candidate at BYU. Things happen. He moved on, you know, went from a more conservative place to a more liberal place. So now he's in New Orleans. It would probably fit his personality type a little bit better. Hopefully he parties way too hard before that game. But, you know, Army has their work cut out for them playing Tulane. Plus, you know, it's college football, man. Like, if I'm Tulane, I kind of have a little bit of a mean streak. Because I lost the American Championship. These guys are coming into my backyard to beat me up. Like, I'm going to try and take them out. And, oh, by the way, depending upon how the season goes, like, this could be one of those must wins for Army. Air Force, again, like, this, you know, you could be cliche and say, hey, like, you throw, you know, records out the window because it's a rivalry game. But, like, how many times have we seen that? Like, there's no way that Army's going to go in and beat Air Force and they beat them by, like, 25 points. Right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's like, oh, Army's struggling this season. They smash, you know, somebody that they're not supposed to. So I think there's this will be a good game. It really depends on, you know, what their offense looks like. They don't have a Brad Roberts, like a standout fullback like they had in years past. And so, like, that's the thing. And I know that there's probably a guy that's ready to step up and replace those guys, because in typical fashion, like, service academies always develop the next man up. But, you know, depending on how Air Force goes, I think it's just going to be a tough game at their place, you know, and I think the stadium is open now, so they aren't even playing at Mile High. So there's really nothing compelling about that matchup except for Air Force to try and get a little bit of revenge on Army again. You know, anytime when Army comes in their place, especially after the season that they had last year, I think everybody's on their kind of revenge tour to get some payback for the beatings that they took last season. Temple, I mean, it's Temple, man. You feel bad. Like, you have a kid as talented as Kurt Warner's son, you know, playing there a couple years ago. Now he's gone. Now you've got all these other people moving around, new coach, you know, and in the era of name, image, and likeness, how many of those guys that got recruited from the previous guy are still on the team? You know, I haven't deep dove into it yet, but, like, typically what happens is, you know, coach is like, hey, you see all those lockers over there? They ain't going to be full tomorrow, because we're going to ask these guys. We're going to encourage them to transfer, right? We're not going to run them off, but we'll give them, you know, a little nudge out the door, just because, you know, a coach needs it to build his team. And I think Temple's very beatable. You know, one, it's, you know, early in a new coach's career, they're they're playing in a place that's not far away, you know, so like the advantage is not having to travel, you know, too many hours to get to West Point. But I just don't think it'll matter when they get to Mikey Stadium, because, like, playing Army at home when you're already weak and wounded is not a recipe for success.
Omar, what do you got for me, man? I see you got actual notes on the Air Force game.
Yeah, so just interesting, because, I mean, I actually am kind of high on Air Force this year, at least to make a bowl back, you know.
Okay.
Last year was dreadful. I will say, though, like, Quentin Hayes, like, leaving the program was just, like, out of nowhere, so that definitely hurts a lot. And best case scenario for us, like, Air Force has trouble at quarterback, and they have to play 245-pound former fullback Kemper Hodges at quarterback. That would be something interesting to see, because, according to Phil Steele, they had a fullback taking quarterback snaps after Hayes left, so would be interesting. But I do think Air Force will be more competitive, and the defense was actually really, really good. Actually, not really, really good, but pretty good last year. Like, they had some, like, really good moments against Oregon State. Like, I think they shut out Oregon State or beat them 28-7. So that one is going to be a rock fight. I mean, there won't be any, you know, Zach Lehrer eating too much popcorn and turn the ball over six times, like, in 2023 or, like, last year too, where he pulled away at the end. I honestly think this will be a rock fight.
Don't hate it. I expect a rock fight too, but they might turn it over six times. Like, their quarterback, there's the guy that they think is going to be a quarterback, has played one start. He's got 48 snaps in his collegiate career. Now, he should get it together by November, but that's, like, half of what Dwayne Coleman has. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a tough ask, particularly in service academy football, right? We've seen this time and time again. Like, the quarterback position, particularly for a triple option team, like, you're hanging your hat on that guy. Like, if he performs well, like, maybe you have a decent game. If he's thinking it out of the building, like it's always hard, particularly against the, you know, it's Army Air Force. Like as much as they want it to be a rivalry, it's not Army Navy. You know, we'll give them the hat tip, like, hey, congratulations, like, you're part of the service academy, it's great. But the reality of it is like, just by comparison, like, nobody gets up for the rivalry like Army Air Force or Army Navy. Like, Army Air Force is like, it almost, you know, it's a shame too. It almost feels like just another game. You know, I know it matters to, like, the guys in the locker room because you got hardware on the line with the Commander in Chief trophy. But at the end of the day, you're like, as a fan, sometimes it's hard to get up for the Air Force game just because it's like, what do they bring to the table? You know, and like, we hear the joke all the time, like, they still play football out there, you know? And the reality of it is like, sometimes it feels that way.
All right, so moving into the fourth quarter of the season, Army gets a bye after the Temple game, which is really kind of a shame. That's probably not where you would take that bye. Then they are at Tulsa, and Navy on their schedule has that reversed, and it's quite a shame that Army doesn't also have it reversed. So then Army's at Tulsa for their first game in that fourth quarter. It's another bad team from 2024. Trey Lamb now leads the Golden Hurricane. Came in from East Tennessee State, brought a bunch of guys with him. Returns quarterback Kirk Francis. Like, I'm not going to say Tulsa is a bad team because I think they have talent, but they got a lot of work to do to be better than they were. And, you know, maybe they make it happen, but as Omar said earlier, like, that was a thing that a lot of teams struggled to do, was to sort of get over that hump with those new head coaches in the American Conference. Then Army on rivalry weekend travels out to UTSA, meet the Roadrunners. That's, I guess, our now tertiary rival, our primary rival of Navy, secondary rival of Air Force. And I guess the Black Knights' tertiary rival is UTSA. This will be the second year that the Black Knights have played them on rivalry weekend. I know I love that game. I probably love that game at least as much as I love the Air Force game, if we're being honest. And dude, this Roadrunner squad is good. Like, they are legit. They return a lot of players off of what was a pretty good squad in 2024. Last year in 2024, they had the problem that everybody had. They brought in all these transfers. They were slow to gel. They couldn't figure out if they wanted quarterback Owen McCowan to be the guy. And then finally, in the second half of the season, they put it together and went on a run. So now they kept that team together. Owen McCowan is definitely the guy. This team had an excellent rushing defense in 2024. And, oh, by the way, they play terrific football at home. They've lost like two games in the Alamo Dome since 2021 or some crazy thing like that. And it's insane because I think one or maybe both of those were losses to Army. So, yeah. I mean, I'm super looking forward to this game. But if you're UTSA, you've got this one circled in highlighter. Like, you want to win this more than you want to draw breath. And then finally, you know, Army Navy, we've talked about Navy. Navy looks good. Omar wrote, you know, five paragraphs about how good they're going to be for tomorrow's article. I mean, I wish it wasn't true, but it is. They look really, really good. We'll see if they can match Army's performance from last year and get to the American Conference Championship game. They really don't have any excuses. So, you know, I earlier had said that I think it's either going to be UTSA at Memphis or maybe Navy at UTSA, something like that, for the American Conference Championship, and I'm still kind of sticking with that. Rob, why don't you tell us what you think about this last section of the season?
All right, so the last section of the season, like, Tulsa is a beatable team. Again, like, they're, you know, I hate to say rebuilding, but like it's like remanufacturing. You're not rebuilding anything. Like, they're starting from square one for most of these teams, just because with, you know, all the transfer NIL and new coaches and everything like that. I think Tulsa's beatable. I mean, Trey Lamb is a good coach. He brought a whole bunch of folks with him, but like, we'll see. You know, I think Army is the more talented team, like, for sure. I think it may be it's a manageable game. Like, UTSA, like, that one's a nightmare, right? Like, that is a more exciting rivalry. Like you said, Dano, I think that's more exciting than Army Air Force sometimes, just because I know how competitive that contest can be, right? Not to say that Army Air Force is not competitive, but it's like, if you go to the Alamo Dome and play UTSA, somebody's going to get smacked in the mouth. Like we know that's going to happen. It's going to be a tough football contest in a very, very old school kind of way, right? I think you have a contrast of styles. It's like, you know, striker versus grappler in the UFC. So you got Army that's going to run the football, and then UTSA, which is going to air it out, and it's going to be like, which team makes the costly mistake? You know, who turns the ball over, puts a ball on the turf or whatever, and that usually becomes the difference in that ball game, with few exceptions. I mean, like, yeah, what was it, 2 years ago when Army went down there and beat them up pretty bad in their own place. Now they're trying to, you know, now they're trying to haul that stuff back. You know what I mean? Like rebuild and beat, like, but again, unfortunately, like, who doesn't want to beat Army? Like, that's the hard part, right? Especially if they're the returning champions coming to your place. I think UTSA and Army, without like any freaking research on this, but anecdotally, I would say UTSA and Army probably have the best records at home in the American Conference for the last decade. Like, I would put money on that. And then, of course, Army Navy, it's like, they're the squids, man. Like, as much as we don't want to give them any props at all, right? We know Horvath's going to be good. Like, this is his third year in the system, right? Like, the kid is, like, he earned the starting slot a couple years ago, and he's going to keep it until he either graduates or, you know, they make him a December grad and he can play a fifth year or something like that. Cause, like, I would not be surprised for that trickeration. But at the end of the day, man, like, a lot of the internet freaking college football nerds are saying, you know, ceiling for Army is 11-1 and the floor is 8-4. And I think that's reasonable. You know, like, I've heard a lot of people that, you know, are the college football nerds that actually are into the statistics, looking at the numbers and looking at previous records and previous experience. And so that's the range that I've heard. I've heard anywhere from 11-1 being K-State being the only black eye to 8-4 with varying different teams win losses. And like, 8-4 is a respectable season. I think, you know, Army fans, after coming off of last year, I don't think a 10 win season is probably the only thing that's acceptable. Beat Navy, win the Commander in Chief. It really is. You know, like, we've been spoiled, but
I would sign up for 8-4 right now.
Honestly. Yeah, 100%. I would take that, you know, because we've been in these, we've had seasons where the schedule looks almost perfect and we end up 6-6. Right.
Yeah.
And don't go to a bowl game. And I think that's the worst possible scenario is, you know, 6-6, no bowl. Like, that is like the bottom of the barrel. And I don't think it's going to happen. That's like unacceptable. But that's an actual, you know, that's actually some things that we've seen with the way that the schedule was shaken out before. Like, oh, they should roll through these guys. Like, what? How do we lose to UConn? You know? So it's difficult to gauge. But I think I don't want to go into the Army-Navy game being whether or not that decides, you know, if there's more hardware on the line or a bowl game. So that's it.
Omar, tell us why Tulsa is secretly going to be a good team.
So just looking at Coach Lamb's background, I won't say this year. Same thing with Casey. I'm like, okay, more high in Casey Keeler, though, because Casey Keeler at every single level he's coach has been a magic man. He's been like John C. Riley in, you know, what is it, Talladega Nights? I'm the magic man. You know, now you don't. But in a different way, makes a different type of magic. But like, Casey Keeler knows the Delaware, Philadelphia, Mid-Atlantic area. I don't doubt that he can't recruit well. And especially like, get good portal lads. I just think that team's a year away. That could be more of a rivalry game. Like, since we're high on bashing the Air Force rivalry, like, I'm really big into getting Army Temple being a really big rivalry, because Temple's a former Big East member. They're in Philadelphia. Like, it just makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. And it's cool to be adjacent to schools like Temple and USF, who are in the Big East, who competed for BCS bowl games. So that in itself is cool by association. But also, like, with Trey Lamb, though, back to Trey Lamb, like, he, like, took Gardner Webb to their first two playoff appearances against tougher competition. Like, first off, in the Big South, a Big South that added North Carolina A&T for a year, at least, after they had won a bunch of Celebration Bowls, and then, like, did it again in the Big South OVC, you know, against Ohio Valley Conference schools. So, you know, he's just good at tough jobs like Tulsa, small enrollment, and it seems like he's getting the masses out there with all their oil money out here in Oklahoma involved in that program. So,
all right.
That's my read on them. With UTSA, I do like the rivalry in the field of UTSA a lot. I won't say it's better than Air Force, but it is cool to play in the Alamo Dome. Like, I do want to see Army play, you know, in the Alamo Dome, because it's an NFL-like venue. So I will say that. But yeah, like, UTSA is just so good, and they might finally beat us in Mikey Stadium South, you know. I'm trying to pass out. We're undefeated in Mikey Stadium South. But they just might beat us. But I don't know.
Well, they might need to steal some signs. Sad.
they might need their quarterback to steal some signs like they did with Memphis last year, disgruntled cadet to lose a spot on the team and then end up giving our signals to Owen McCown. But yeah, so I think I just will say, with the record prediction, part of me, I'm not a vindictive person, but I love my bowl games and I get defensive over them. Part of me wants us to go 6-6. So every crybaby that talked about, I want to be independent, I want to play two power conference teams a year. Yeah, but do you also want to play two FCS schools and go 6-6 and stay home for December? I want us to go 6-6 while being in this conference, just so those people can just see, like, be like, you see, like, it, being in the American has its benefits. Like, and I don't feel like this year will be the year, but I can see a scenario playing out where, you know, maybe we go to the Navy game 6-5 and end at 6-6, and it's like, see, this whole conference thing isn't so bad, guys.
Interesting. That is quite a take. I hope my team goes 6-6
one year. Just doesn't have to be this year, but it's one year to show everyone that, like, you know, just to vindicate that we were right about the American. I'm the American fanboy. I'm filling the role right now.
That's fair. Okay.
Yeah. I'll get the little red book.
Let's do a little
fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
All right. Fact or fiction. Army wins at least 8 games. Vegas set the betting line at 7.5. I know what Rob is going to say. Omar, what do you got for me?
I think fact, honestly, because, like, even like Robin and you were saying, Daniel, like, even in the worst scenario, I can see our only, like, slip-ups being Kansas State, Navy, Tulane, and then UTSA. Even UTSA is a bit of a maybe, too, because still, like, it's a very competitive game, and they have a lot of talent, sure, but they also only have two returning starters on defense at the same time. So even in, like, the worst scenario, like, I see us winning 8 games, honestly, and reaching the over. So I think that's a fact.
I guess I'll go fact agreement, but I am pretty nervous. And until I see Dwayne Coleman operating the offense and, you know, working his way through traffic against starting defensive, you know, players, not in the fourth quarter of a game where the team has already been shellacked, until I see him sort of doing the thing, I guess I'm going to be nervous about it. I was saying, you know, when you're, this is kind of a deep cut, so with apologies, but when you're doing the military decision-making process, you lay out decision points, right? And I know you guys are like, oh my God. And I'm the one who's been on the Army forever, but I really do find myself thinking this way. So you lay out these decision points, and I feel like that's kind of where the season is, right? So we've got this first game, and depending on how that goes, we're going to have some ideas. And then you've got this North Texas game, and there's 12 games on the schedule, but there's a handful where I'm really looking forward to seeing the decisions and getting a better sense of how I feel about the team. So I'll say fact, but it's a nervous fact. Rob?
Yeah, so fact or fiction, Army has 3 750-yard rushers this season.
I would like to know what they normally have.
So if you look at last year's stats, you had 2,000-yard rushers and one that had 569 yards. So it's possible, like, if you got a little bit more distribution, but, like, when you look at the disparity in carries, so, you know, Bryson Daly had 310, Udo had 179, and then Noah Short had 75. So Noah Short had 100 carries, he'd probably have been close to 700 yards.
Yeah, I think it's tough, right? I could easily see Noah Short having a really good season, and you would like for Hayden Reed to have a really good season. And so there's two. So do we think Dwayne Coleman is going to also pick up 750 yards? And I guess if he doesn't, then that kind of sucks for the Black Knights. So I guess I'll say fact, but when was the last time an Army quarterback had less than 750 yards is probably also worth asking. I mean, Coleman is not a big guy, but he has decent speed. and he's kind of elusive. You know, coach compared him to Tyler. So with some of the teams that are not as good on against the run, I could see him having some breakaway yards. And, you know, you pile on a couple 150-yard games, and suddenly you're pretty close to 750. So I'm going to say fact. Omar?
I'm going to say fiction, to be honest with you, just like doing the math in my head. And it's nothing against anyone. I do think we're going to have more of a committee by approach, maybe, I guess, in the fullback. Because actually, I think that quarterback and fullback will have more than 750. I'll say that. I just think the slot back distribution will be more of a by committee. Because if you just look at some of the options we have at the slot back position, Samari Howard's experience, Noah Short, of course. Yep. Right? We talked about Noah Short. But also, like, I like some guys that people aren't talking about as much, like Lloyd Benson. Like, we know he's explosive. He returns kicks and punts. Doesn't have the highest average, but obviously he has some explosiveness because he's the guy for that. I mean, and also too, I'm going to keep singing the praises of Zach Mundell after that kick return against Boston College in 2023. I'm going to keep doing it. Like, so there's like a bunch of good slot backs that can, I can kind of see distribution going Hayden Reed, 1,000 yards, you know, Dwayne Coleman going 700, 600, Noah Short, 500. And then we get some guys like Lloyd Benson has about 30 carries for 270 yards, 260 yards, 8 yards a carry or whatever. Zach Mundell has 200 yards himself. Same thing with Samari Howard getting in the mix. So I think that the offense will have kind of a more wide open look, I think, because of how good of a passer Dwayne Coleman is. I think he kind of reminds me, honestly, maybe not from a size comparison, but of like a Christian Anderson, the skill set.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good one. I agree with that one. So I will just say Lynn Fern has a little crush on Zach Mundell. She must text me about Mundell more often than any other player on the field. She got a little thing for him. So, and I hope she doesn't get mad at me saying that, but she is in love with his breakaway ability and his nimbleness in traffic. So, she would definitely agree with you there.
That kick return. I mean, I'm telling you, lives rent free in my head. Every time I play college football at 25, I go on the depth chart. This is nothing against Dwayne Coleman, but I switch Zach Mundell from QB 4 or 3 all the way up to 2, just in case.
All right, and Omar, you're last up.
So I'll change, to be honest with you. We all went rushing. So fact or fiction, an Army receiver will catch more than 30 passes this year. Ooh. Casey, like this year we had a good year throwing the ball, of course, with Bryson Daly breaking 1,000. But even still, Casey Reynolds only had 20 catches, and that was enough to end him an All-Star game. I'm glad that the Tropical Bowl supports the troops, you know, because any other school puts out a guy with 20 catches, like they're not going to an All-Star game. But I think 30 catches, I think that's a good benchmark, I guess, to spice things up with a fact or fiction.
That's a good one. Okay, so I thought Liam Fortner looked really amazing during the spring game. Like I agree, Casey Reynolds was the best receiver we've seen in a while, and I was worried about it until I saw Fortner play, and then I was like, where the hell has this guy been? Because holy shit, he is a good athlete. So I don't know if he's going to get 30 catches, but I'm just going to say fact because I think Fortner has a really good season. You know, you got a quarterback who's going to have to throw a little more often, and if they don't make that work, nobody thinks Dwayne Coleman's going to be running dudes over, so they got to come up with another way, and I think Fortner's is the way. But, you know, that's just my opinion. So I'm going to say fact, caveat, but yes, give it to me, unlikely as it might be.
I'm going to say fiction for the same reasons why Omar doesn't think that we're going to have multiple 750-yard rushers. They're going to spread the ball around, right? If Dwayne Coleman's arm is as good as, you know, advertised, they're going to throw a little bit more, right? We're going to throw them when we want to rather than when we need to, and I think that's going to create more opportunities. So I think you're going to see a little bit better ball distribution both on the passing side as well, right? It takes pressure off of him, right? Because he's not a young quarterback. He's experienced. But when you're breaking in a new guy, what do? You run the ball more often, and then you throw, you know, high percentage passes. And like, God forbid, like if Army would run a swing pass like Ohio State ran against, you know, Oregon, where the slot back kind of fades back in like he's going to block for an option play and then floats out into the sideline, and then we throw a short pass and it turns into a large gain, I'll be happy with that. You know, I think a play like that would be something. I mean, Only time you see Army running backs catching swing passes is in college football 26. I mean, like, that's just the way that it is. But if we see that this year, you know, I would be happy with that because I think spreading the ball around is going to be that. So I'm going to say fiction, but for the same reasons why we're not going to have, you know, multiple 750-yard rushers just because of ball distribution. I don't think it's not going to be for lack of effort. I just think, you know, you're going to have multiple people catching 17 to 20 passes and not one guy that's going to stand out.
Interesting. So the one thing that I would really like Army to steal from Navy is that counter screen pass that they use, because with the way Army runs their offense, and Navy too for that matter, you know, when they run quarterback power, everybody's got to flow to the ball, and then they turn around and throw it back across the field, and Jesus, that thing, they just murder kids with it. So I would like to see that, and if they do that, then maybe Army has a 1,000 or a 30 catch receiver, and it's Noah Short, because that's, you would throw that to Short or Howard. But yeah, we shall see. That's an interesting one. But I would definitely, like, you could just steal that one out of the Navy's playbook. So we're going to close with our favorite thing, friends. It's week zero. We're putting out quite a lot of content this week. You know, had an article today previewing the offense, have an article tomorrow, which as you're reading, this is probably going to be today or maybe even yesterday. With Omar previewing the American Conference. My written version of this is coming out a little later in the season, or a little later in the week, excuse me. And, you know, we're doing games and locks week zero at some point, as soon as Omar gives me his picks for games and locks. We did two roundtables last week, a regular week zero, and then we got that interview with Scott from the Bosco's Boys podcast. That was really great. You know, and I'm telling you, and we have merch. So if you're watching this on video, this is my As for Football beer koozie that I really like. So we got a lot going on. We're excited about football, and we hope you guys are too. And we will see you a week from Friday. So go Army, beat Tarleton State.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the As for Football Army Football Show. Big thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate, for supporting us and the Long Gray Line. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, reach out to Jocelyn. She's got your back. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the show with your friends. And as always, beat Navy.